Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Eric Zorn is a former columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He now publishes something called the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter. You get more than once a week if you get the premium subscription, but it's free to you if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com. Did I say all of that right, Eric?
You got it exactly right, John. Thank you.
Yeah, it's also good to talk to you here. And then on the Mincing Rascals podcast, we'll drop another pod tomorrow. But in the meantime...
Yeah, it's all Rascals all the time this morning, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Austin.
Austin was pretty good. And
Austin's great.
I know that, but I will tell you what I didn't get a chance to tell him. We'll probably talk more about it. It was not that long ago when we were talking about courts dragging their heels on some local decisions, on the IVF decision, on Donald Trump decisions. And Austin said, I always get nervous when we say, hurry up, make a decision when it's really important. And I don't, and I wonder how that translates to what we're talking about here. Kim Fox is still the state's attorney. She's not leaving office tomorrow. We haven't even had the general election yet. So I think this rush to determine who the winner of the Democrat primary is a little more drama than necessary. As long as we get it right, what do you or I care when we tally the votes?
Well, it is nice to get some sort of closure on these elections. You know, when you're a week out, it does seem like a long time to wait. And the longer you delay, the more people have misgivings and suspicions about what's going on in the county room. I give credit to both campaigns, both camps, by lowering the temperature here, by saying that they have confidence in what's going on. I'm sure that the losing candidate, it looks like it's going to be Clayton Harris, will probably ask for a recount, and that seems very fair, right, to recount those votes. But I would like to see a change where you would have to have your ballot, your mail-in ballot, postmarked, say, Friday before the Tuesday election. It's not that much to ask for the convenience of mail-in voting. And that way you'd know by the end of the week for sure that all the ballots are out. I think that there's some in the reporting they're talking about like 53,000 mail-in ballots have yet to be returned
right
now.
Right.
My guess is that almost none of them will come back because, I mean, our postal service is not the greatest in the world, but it doesn't take a week to mail a letter across the city. I mean, there may be a few that trickle in, but it's going to be a very minimal amount. I don't see a path. I was hearing what Austin was saying. I really don't see a path for Harris to win the count right now. He would have to take an extraordinary percentage of the outstanding ballots, which is, I think, really, I mean, it's like when you see those things on ESPN where they have the win probability. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
You know, where you look at the game and the ESPN
sure.
will say the win probability is now is like 90. It's got to be 99% right now for Burke. Now, of course, every once in a while, you know, you'll have a thing, but that's how it looks. I just think that the mail-in balloting, they need to have a tighter window on it so that it doesn't drag on and on. I think people would like to have a little bit more closure on these elections less than a week out.
O'Neill Burke's biggest donors include Let Us Entertain You founder Rich Melman and chief executives from Citadel. She has the backing of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, which says her pledge to prosecute retail theft more vigilantly will help struggling businesses. Meanwhile, Clayton Harris III was handpicked by party head Tony Preckwinkle to carry on Kim Fox's progressive agenda. I do think he sounds like her, that is Kim Fox, and a lot of attention has been spent on at what point do you more vigilantly prosecute retail theft. And she's thrown the number out at $300. He said, I will continue to follow the law. But he sounds more like Kim Fox. He sounds more like Brandon Johnson, for that matter. You know what I mean?
Right. I do know what you mean. Listening to their debates, the forums they had before the election, I didn't see a whole lot of difference between them in terms
right.
of what they were saying, aside
right.
from this business with the shoplifting. And so I'm not sure why it's so important to all these people to throw money at this race. I mean, I was undecided on this race, basically leading right up to it. I was like, well, either one of them, they look fairly similar. They have fairly similar things to say. I don't think it's going to make that much difference. I'm surprised that so many. I get the Chamber of Commerce. I get the shoplifting thing. And if that's an important issue to you, then I can see that vote. But for the most part, I saw Burke saying that she was going to continue most of the reforms that Kim Fox had put in place. And of course, Harris is handpicked by Tony Preckwinkle, and so is seen as the heir.
Well, they're all
Kim
Democrats.
Fox.
I mean, they all are cut from the same cloth, except for Bob Fioretti, the Republican who will ultimately face off against one of these two in November, right?
Yeah, I know. We have to keep remembering that there will be another election, although I think a lot of people have said, and I've even seen some media pundits, talk about how this is the election for a state's attorney and the person who's going to take office.
Sure.
And it's just some of this presumption that Fioretti, who is this somewhat comical figure, I think he's run for a bunch of different offices ever since he was an alderman and has never gotten any traction. So it's a high presumption. It's not like Chicago has not elected Republican state's attorneys before. I mean, we had Jack O'Malley back in the 90s, so it is possible that could happen. But I don't think someone with Fioretti's pedigree will make a dent, although, you know, he will really hammer on the law and order theme. And if crime is really awful over the summer, you might see him getting some political traction. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what I was wondering. So, and, you know, he's fun to talk to. I've interviewed him before, and he's a good interview. He seems sincere enough.
There's that wild hair of his, huh?
Let's not judge people by their hair. I haven't got a haircut since Thanksgiving, and it's time.
Can I just interject, though, that Rod Blagojevich has gone back to dyeing his hair brown? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he put out a video. He was criticizing the judge in the case, you know, the case where the judge quoted Dr. Seuss and when he told him to go, get out of here. Get on a cow, whatever the exact saying was that the judge quoted. He said, he tells Blagojevich, the time has come, the time is now, just go, I don't care how, you can go by foot, you can go by cow. Marvin K. Mooney, will you please go now? So Blagojevich posted a video on social media where he scolded the judge for reading children's books and said you should read an adult book like the Constitution. But in that video, Rod's hair is back to its old dark brown color. So
maybe it's for the cameo videos that the cool kids are still paying him for. He still has that as a revenue stream. I don't know what else Mr. Blagojevich does to get money. Do you know?
Well, I think he does okay on this cameo site, and he may have a pension from the state, or he may have a federal pension. He was a congressman for a while.
Yeah.
And, of course, his father-in-law is Dick Mell, so there's money in the Mell family, clearly. At one point, they were saying that the Blagojeviches are going to have to sell their house up on Sunnyside, and then that didn't happen. And he was in prison for, 8 years or something like that, so there must have been some income coming in. I think his wife, Patty, was in real estate, as I recall.
Yeah.
So maybe she's making money there.
I thought, it's just amazing to me because you're out of jail. And I don't know, would he have been out of jail by now anyway? But it just seems to me like you were so fortunate to get the break that you did that you might just slink away and, you know, quietly. But no, he can't do that. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, his whole lawsuit was he wants to run for office again. Like, really, Rod? You think people are going to vote for you after all this?
What do you think?
Well, he certainly has some support, as you can see in the comment section and social media, but I think very few. I think he is widely seen as a narcissistic clown.
I know that, but we have a narcissist running for re-election for president who's got four different cases, and it was 91 counts. I think it's a few fewer now against him, and in all likelihood, he'll be the next president of the United States. So I'm willing to believe Rod Blagojevich could get elected to some office in Illinois. Maybe not governor, maybe city council, maybe alderman, maybe state representative, state senator, not where he lives now. I don't know. Is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican now that he's a Trumper? I don't know.
Well, he describes himself as a Trumpocrat, and he could run for Congress, and he could run for Senate, and he could run for President of the United States. He could run for federal office. It's a state law that's barring him from running from state and municipal offices here. And he was seeking to overturn that, calling it unconstitutional, saying people should be able to vote for who they want to vote for, which is, you know, it's a plausible argument. The judge laughed it out of court, but it is, you know, it is kind of like, okay, as long as people know about his felony conviction, should they be allowed to vote for him? I guess, right? I mean, we do obsess about ballot qualifications, but it wouldn't bother me if the judge were to say, yeah, go ahead and run. I mean, it would give me something more to write about, which is always fun.
Eric, tell me the story that we didn't even take time to talk about in the podcast last week on the Mincing Rascals. It was about an 11-year-old boy, I believe that was his age, who came to the aid of his family but lost his life in the process. What are you writing or thinking about there?
It's a horrifying story about an 11-year-old boy who tried to defend his mother from an attack from a stalker who had been dated her years ago and had been in prison for stalking somebody else and for threatening somebody else. He'd gotten out of prison, and he had come to her house to threaten her, and the state had put him back in prison for violating his terms of his release. And then sort of inexplicably, they let him out. He said, well, I didn't actually go to her apartment to get her. I was just looking for a place to live. And so on March 13th, he shows up in the morning, bursts into the apartment and begins trying to stab her to death. And the boy, who's 11, kind of a spindly kid, tries to save his mother. And the man, Crisetti Brand, allegedly stabs him to death and then runs away. He's been, of course, arrested and charged. But the failure of the law to protect this woman is really at issue here. Yesterday, we saw two members of the Illinois Prison Review Board, who were the director of it and also the person on the board who was responsible for the hearing that allowed this man to be released again so quickly after violating the terms of his release. They were like, they didn't call the woman for her testimony. They didn't ask to see the texts that he had sent, the threatening texts that he allegedly sent. And they just sort of believed the fact that the ankle monitor, I guess, didn't show that he'd been at her house. And these ankle monitors are notoriously unreliable. And they just said, okay, well, we'll let him out. And this guy's clearly a danger. He was clearly a danger even before this. And they sort of failed to get the big picture. And it's one of the things just infuriating when our system fails like this. A judge. Then about around the same time, a Cook County judge said, well, you don't need a special order of protection because he's in prison, not even asking when he might get out of prison. So we've got this layers and layers of failure to protect the woman, and then the little boy ends up dead. And there's some video and probably what caused Brenda to break into tears. I know when I was talking to Kate Plies, also on the Mincing Rascals, and she says she breaks into tears, too, and she sees the video that was posted at my publication of him dancing.
Yeah.
He was a very talented, charismatic kid, and it's just an enormous loss. Anytime an 11-year-old is killed, it's an enormous loss, but this seems particularly painful. And so it's a horrible situation. I'm glad to see that Governor Pritzker seems to be cleaning house a little bit at the Prison Review Board, but we need to take domestic violence and these threats more seriously. It's clearly the lesson here.
How do you pick basketball teams for the NCAA tournament?
Well, I root for the Big Ten. Anytime there's a Big Ten team, because I'm a Michigan grad, and Michigan was just completely awful this year, but I still have some conference loyalty. It's getting harder and harder the bigger the Big Ten gets. I mean, I root for Nebraska. You know, I mean, it seems very strange to me to root for Nebraska, but I do. And I was rooting for Oregon, even though they aren't yet a member of the Big Ten, because they're going to be a member of the Big Ten. But this whole conference thing is getting absurd. So then all other things being equal, I will root for a team from a blue state over a team from a red state. And I announced this in my publication last week. And I got some guff from people who thought this was the strangest thing they had ever heard. That I would root for, say, a team like Syracuse over Oklahoma just because New York is a blue state and Oklahoma is a red state. But how else do you pick? If you don't have any money on the game, you got to have some reason to root for somebody, right?
I don't think that's so absurd, and I'm sure the converse is true, too. I'm sure there's people in Texas, Florida, and Oklahoma who would never vote for a Chicago team. I mean, think about that. Vote for Chicago or root for Chicago. They don't do that there. They do the opposite. They send us their migrants that they don't even tell us are coming. So I don't think that's such an absurd emotion.
Yeah. You know, now that you mention, I might put a click poll on Thursday's edition and ask people whether if they think it's really crazy, a little crazy, or understandable.
Well,
I mean, because you have so many situations in this tournament where you have teams that you've actually maybe never heard of, or you've just heard of in terms of their basketball teams over the years. How do you pick between a team from Florida and a team from Maryland? I don't know. How do you do that?
Well, I know that the athletes that are recruited when they're in high school. So I'm sure their political views aren't fully formed yet. But if you were going to get a chance to go play for Texas, or you were going to get a chance to play for Northwestern, you know, redder and bluer state options you wouldn't have, you couldn't have. Which school would you pick? And if all things were equal, I wonder how hard it is for some kids to represent and be part of a culture that is very red state, or the converse. I mean, or a blue state. Say you're a kid who's, you know, all Second Amendment, and you're not sure about the LGBTQ issues, and the migrants are Joe Biden's fault. Could you see yourself playing in Minnesota, you know, or Chicago? I wonder if that's hard for those kids going the other way.
Or Boston. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the student athletes. I do know, like, if you're at Texas, you're probably living in Austin, which is the blueberry in the red sea there, right?
Yes.
I mean, Austin is a very liberal place, and I think, you know, so it's not really about the athletes. It's more about the fans.
Well, like, I think it is. Well, it is for me. I mean, I think the parents and those kids can go be part of a culture that is one state or the other. If all things were equal, I mean, you want to go where the NIL is. You want to go where you've got a chance to turn pro. But I just wonder if that enters into the equation. I know that's not what you're talking about, but I've wondered that on behalf of the kids.
I think it is true that there's, especially young women, are thinking about the abortion laws in the states where
they're
going to go.
Why not?
Well, absolutely. I would think that would be a factor when you're, if you're weighing to, if all, like I say, how often are all of the things equal? But sometimes they really feel that way. Like, okay, do you go to Northwestern where culturally you feel like you're okay, and you're in Illinois, which is a blue state, or do you go to the University of Alabama?
What if it's one of those small parochial, one of those religious-based schools, and there has been in this tournament, and their views are anathema to how you feel about certain issues? You're going to root for them? I think that would be hard to do. Maybe the coach is somebody who was charged with sexual assault in the past, and you think, those are nice kids on the floor, but I don't like this coach. How do you root for that team?
You know, it'd be so much easier if I were a gambler. Then I would just put money on teams, and then I could root for them no matter what, right?
Well, that would test your theory here, because I think you'd be putting money on the red state teams, Eric, if it was your money on the line. We are out of time, sir. Let's you and I talk about this and other topics when we record the Mincing Rascals podcast with Austin Berg, and sometimes our own John Hansen and company will do that tomorrow.
Thanks, John. Talk to you.
You can read Eric Zorn's writing and collection of comments when you subscribe to the Picayune Sentinel. Email ericzorn@gmail.com.